Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Ready to roll at the halfway point of the 107th PGA Championship. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Charlie, how you doing this morning?
Highly motivated. Major PGA Championship. I was able to play in that a few times in my life, and it's a great tournament, a great environment. It's run by the Club Pros of America, the PGA of America. And we have 20 club pros in the event that qualified to be there. And this is the fourth major, but it has the best field. Yeah. So, and it's so exciting that it so happens to have a leader that we can identify with.
Huh? Your good friend, Johnny Vegas,
Johnny
Charlie.
Johnny Vegas from Venezuela that came to Houston, did not know a word of English, studied, tutored, and got a scholarship at University of Texas, and played and distinguished himself, and has a great career. Boy, would this be a great victory for that young man.
40 years old, Charlie. You know, he's won four times on the PGA Tour. As recently as 10 months ago in Minnesota at the 3M, and you know, played very decent 2 weeks ago at the Byron Nelson. I know that was a tournament that was overshadowed a little bit by Scottie Scheffler running away with it by 8 shots, but Johnny Vegas was in the mix there through 2 rounds, and he's had a very commendable start, 2-shot lead going into the weekend at Quail Hollow after rounds of 64-70. You told me a great story about Johnny Vegas when he got to Texas, and you know, they're all given equipment at the start of the year, and you know, Johnny was given a pair of shoes that were, you know, 3 sizes too big, and you know, you said, you know, based off where he came from, he didn't care. He was just fortunate. He was glad to have a pair of shoes on his feet.
He was glad to be in Texas. He had some good people helping him. A golf pro by the name of Rick Forrester, who is a good friend of mine, and Rick Forrester's father was one of the great golf pros of the PGA, and Rick helped him along, and really did a good job, and then Coach Fields up at University of Texas really brought him up to speed, and he went on to have a good career.
You know, once again, 4-time PGA Tour winner. That said, for how much success he's had on the PGA Tour, the major storyline through 2 rounds seems to be that, you know, Johnny Vegas has yet to crack the code at major championships. And Johnny addressed that in his post-round 2 press conference.
I know. I mean, it's definitely been annoying, right? It's been very, very annoying, especially knowing that I have the game to compete in these big events. You know, I feel like my game is very complete, and you know, but I just haven't been able to put it all together at majors. So, you know, I think I've been patient enough to not really get, you know, too down on myself for not playing well at majors. I mean, I've played, you know, good at the Players. I've played good at, you know, some good big tournaments, but never at majors, right? But, I mean, like I said, it was just kind of one of those things that you just got to keep learning about yourself and what it is that it takes to play good here. And, you know, unfortunately, it's taken mine a little bit longer than usual, but, you know, I'm glad that I'm in this position right now.
What would you recommend the listener watch in Johnny Vegas' game over the next 2 rounds that they can learn from?
Well, the pre-shot routine tells it all. I've watched Johnny enough where I can see if he gets nervous or, you know, that kind of thing. And he's just got to learn to pace himself, to be patient, to breathe correctly because, like he said, his game is complete. He's incredibly long. He just went through some shoulder problems that Russ Payne helped him through, and so his body is he's a big kid. He's 6'4", six, and hits it long ways, like I said. But his short game is really good. He's worked very hard. Right now he's working with Rick Smith, a famous golf teacher. He's ready.
Yeah, and Charlie, he's played well at Quail over the years. Uh-huh. You know, Quail Hollow hosts the Wells Fargo Championship, and he finished ninth there a couple years ago. I was at this course earlier this week. You've been to Quail Hollow a bunch. This is a place that does fit, does set up well for Johnny, doesn't it?
It's a big golf course. Yeah. It's got almost 8,000 yards. And luckily, and they had horrible weather a week ago, and they've had too much rain, but it's dried out.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be good for him. But signaled yesterday, it could be his time is on 17, which is an incredibly hard par 3, 230 yards. It's elevated tee.
Water all around that back left side.
And you can see he's hitting it to the right edge of the green, he wants to make four.
Yeah.
Not, and he didn't quite hit the shot he want. And it's always an argument is when you play golf and the rakes around the green, do we put them in the bunker or do we keep them out? Well, this one was out and his ball hit the handle of the rake and ricocheted towards the green up on the surface, and he ended up with an easy two putt for par. Something he's got, somebody else helping him.
That's a sign, isn't it, Charlie?
That's a good sign, yes.
Now on 18, he hit 3-wood off the tee.
Yeah.
He hit a beautiful tee shot to the middle of the fairway.
Beautiful.
That 18th hole has been getting people all week long, and over the course of history, it obviously plays as a very tough hole. That creek running right down the left side. He put it in the bunker on the right side and hit a little bit of a suspect bunker shot. It ended up making double there. How tough is that bunker shot from over there on the right green side at number 18 at Quail?
Well, it's green side. It's undulating. The greens are as fast as they've ever been. And he played conservative and just got it out. He could have been a little more aggressive, but it took the contour and it went off the green. After it stopped, then it started, So that was a mistake, but he's still leading the tournament.
Correct.
So he's getting his karma.
Yeah.
That's helping him, and boy, I'm rooting really big time for
him. I'm excited to watch him this weekend. He holds a 2-shot lead over Siwoo Kim, Matt Fitzpatrick, Matthew Pavon. Those three are at 6-under.
Where are the Americans?
Well, you have to look a little further down and tie for fifth. Three back is Scottie Scheffler and Max Homa. Scheffler, three back heading into the weekend. World number one is definitely going to be something to watch as he looks for his third major championship. He opened with rounds of 69, 68. You look at some of the other players on this leaderboard, Charlie, starting with Siwoo Kim. He held a 54-hole lead at the RBC Heritage a couple weeks ago. Siwoo made that hole-in-one on the par 3 sixth yesterday, playing 252 yards. Unbelievable.
And there was nobody around.
No, there was not. So, we'll see what Siwoo does. 72-64, that was a strong second round. Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, he opened 71-65. He won his first PGA Tour event last season at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Despite that win, has not done much since, but this is a long hitter who can get after it on a big golf course. And then Matthew Fitzpatrick, he is that last man who is in a tie for second. Fitzpatrick, 2022 U.S. Open champion, with just one top five in his last 25 starts, but You know, he has obviously gotten it done in the big moment. We'll see what he can do this weekend. And then you mentioned, Charlie, the two Americans, Max Homa and Scottie Scheffler. Those are the two in a tie for fifth at 5-under. They will start the weekend three back. Homa open. You know, his struggles have been well noted. You know, switched equipment, switched golf coaches from Mark Blackburn to John Scott Ratton at Congressional. Switched from Titleist to Cobra. That was a big move. He has had some success at Quail, so it's not the biggest shocker to see Max Homa up there, but has certainly struggled in his last 25 starts. And then there's world number one Scottie Scheffler, who is going to start the weekend three back.
But the other surprise, I saw Phil Mickelson in the bunker. Now, when he left the PGA Tour and went to LIV, he was gone through hell. I mean, he had personal problems. He had to sit, you know. And so, you know, you know he hadn't been practicing like he once did. But it took him four to get out of a bunker.
Yeah.
He was shanking him.
Yeah.
That was, you know, so unfortunate to see that his game had sunken that far because he won this tournament when he was 51 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, less than 4 years ago.
Yeah,
at Kiowa.
And to see him broke my heart. But that's what happened.
Yeah, Charlie. I was there Monday to Wednesday, and I was looking for Phil.
Yeah,
I did not see him on property Monday to Wednesday, and there were reports that he didn't get there till Wednesday afternoon. Played nine holes, and that's all they saw of him. That's really not typical major preparation for someone of that caliber.
Not at all. But then you see his shot selection and him not being able to get out of the bunkers. He one of the best bunkers players. He worked for Dave Pels for years, and he got his bunker game in first class.
Go ahead. A couple other notable miscuts that I want to run past you. Jordan Spieth 2-over, Charlie. He will have to wait another year to try to complete that Grand Slam. Maybe next year at Aronimink in Pennsylvania is a course that sets up well for him. You know, struggled with the iron play a little bit last week in Philly at Philly Cricket. Overall, it seems like Spieth's game is really coming together. Maybe still waiting for that iron play to that approach game to return to where it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's really disheartening when you see a player of his caliber go through what he's going through. You know, it hurts him. And, you know, I was able to play in the PJ Seniors at Aronimink. And next year, you know, that's a big golf course. And but he's got another chance.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a gamer. And was I surprised that he didn't make the cut this? Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be in the top. And his buddy, Justin Thomas.
Unbelievable. Won the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow in 2017. Won again at Southern Hills for his second major in 2022. We saw Justin Thomas win a couple weeks ago at the RBC Heritage and play very solid golf last week in Philly. And I followed JT for five holes on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Charlie, he was not missing a shot.
Oh, no.
Even more surprising, you know, to see his result at looking back on Wednesday. I didn't see him miss a putt either.
Yeah.
He was one of my picks at the start of this week. I would say that's the biggest surprise, Justin Thomas 3-over and missing the cut. He's not going to be around this weekend. A couple other missed cuts. We've got to go to break in 1 second. Shane Lowry, who put up had the Truist Championship last week in his hands, three-putted the 72nd hole to miss out on a playoff over Sepp Straka by one. Hideki Matsuyama will not see the weekend at Quail Hollow. A couple other names that missed the cut. Ricky Fowler shot 4-over for 2 days. Patrick Reed shot 4-over for 2 days. Jason Day's total was 6-over. As Charlie aforementioned, Phil Mickelson 9-over for 2 rounds at Quail Hollow. Justin Rose, who was in a playoff there, at the Masters tournament, fell short to Rory McIlroy. He shot 9-over for 2 days. Justin Rose said he hasn't been feeling that great here over the last week in Charlotte. And then a couple of the LIV guys who were near the bottom of the leaderboard, Brooks Koepka, 9-over par, and Dustin Johnson 12 over par. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Quick break.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
One more thing to put a bow on the early rounds. You know, it rained all day and night, Monday and Tuesday. You know, mud balls were a major factor in the early rounds. We have to address that. And only once in major championship history has the ball ever been played up in the fairways. And that was the opening round of the 2016 PGA at Baltusrol. And a lot of players had an issue with the ball being played down in round one, starting with world number one Scottie Scheffler, who opened 69-68 and will start the weekend three back of Johnny Vegas.
Not really surprised at all. By the way, this is going to be the last answer that I give on playing it up or down. I mean, I don't make the rules. I think when you're looking at the purest forms of golf, I think, like, if you're going to go play links golf, there is absolutely no reason on a links golf course you should ever play the ball up. It doesn't matter how much rain that they get. I mean, the golf course could be flooded underwater, and the ball's still going to bounce somehow just because of the way the turf is and the ground underneath the turf. In American golf, it's significantly different. When you have overseeded fairways that aren't sand-capped, there's going to be a lot of mud on the ball, and that's just part of it. And when you think about the purest test of golf, I don't personally think that hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway you should get punished for. And on a golf course as good of conditioned as this one is, this is probably where a situation in which it would be the least likely difference in playing it up, because most of the lies you get out here are all really good. And so I understand how a golf purist would be like, oh, play it as it lies, but I don't think they understand what it's like literally working your entire life to learn how to hit a golf ball and control it and hit shots and control distance, and all of a sudden due to a rules decision that is completely taken away from us just by chance. And in golf, there's enough luck throughout a 72-hole tournament. I don't think that the story should be whether or not the ball's played up or down. I think when I look at golf tournaments, I want the purest, fairest test of golf. And in my opinion, you know, maybe today the ball should have been played up. But like I said, I don't make the rules. I deal with what the rules decisions are. And I could have let that bother me today when you get a mud ball and it cost me a couple shots. But it cost me, you know, possibly two shots on one hole. And if I let that bother me, it could cost me five shots the rest of the round. But today, I was proud of how I stayed in there, didn't let it get to me, and was able to play, you know, some solid golf on a day in which I was kind of a bit all over the place and still posted.
Charlie, that was right after Scheffler fired 69 in the opening round, and it really was a grindy 69 in a day where Scheffler really had his maybe B-minus game and birdied two of the last three holes to stay in the golf tournament. What were your thoughts on the ball being played down in round one?
Well, that was the decision by a referee that's in charge of rules.
Is that Kerry Haig?
Kerry Haig and his group. And I look at it as a player. I feel like Scotty does.
Yeah.
Come on. Lift clean in place. That's a rule. You can do that. And they've had 8 days of rain. There's a lot of mud out there. And why, unfortunately, the ball was, to me, the ball is unplayable when it has mud on it.
Yeah.
And you can take a ball that's unplayable out of play. And, you know, if you scuff it on a cart path, X, so on and so forth. So it's unfortunate, and they better have a meeting and get this resolved for a major championship, and that when there's mud on the golf course, there's a rule to take care of that.
I heard a couple TV analysts, you know, talk about how hitting mud balls is a skill, and, you know, that they think you know where the ball is going based on which side the mud is on the ball. I can't remember getting a mud ball where the mud was perfectly on one side of the ball,
no,
you know?
It's not. And it's just like in baseball, they got rid of the spit ball.
Yeah.
You know, they got rid of the Vaseline ball. You know, you can do things to make a golf, to a ball that, you know, will make it act completely differently than it's supposed to. So come on, let's use common sense.
For the listener at home, you know, when they're playing maybe an early morning round with some dew on the ground or some moisture from the night before, how do you approach those type of conditions? When, you know, are you adding distance? Is it still a guess game if there's just moisture on the ball? Take us through that, Charlie.
Well, sure. There's anytime there's something between the golf ball and the face of the golf club, something's going to happen differently than you think it's going to have, you know. And it's kind of like the knuckleball in baseball when it has no spin on it and it just kind of goes around this way, and you can call it a ball or a strike. Well, that golf ball, when it starts going isolating, going all different ways, you can't control it, and I think that's unfortunate. You know, the dew sweepers early in the, they get the good greens, but they also get the wet conditions.
Yeah.
And the only thing good about it is you can see the ball rolling. It gives you the break on the green. You know, so.
Yeah, a couple different, you know, opinions in there. I'm with you, Charlie. I thought it should have been played up. You know, Max Homa, who opened 73-64, him and Scheffler are going to go out together at 225 this afternoon. Homa said, you know, I particularly like playing the ball down. I think it just causes chaos for the fans. It's supposed to be entertaining. So, you know, seeing people who can look like robots for a while look completely silly isn't the worst thing when it's you. So I guess Homa didn't have much of an issue with that. But I think the overwhelming opinion, I think if you ask Scottie Scheffler or Shane Lowry, whose ball ended up in a divot on the 14th hole, he was ready to get out of there, Charlie.
Boy, did he lose his personality.
He put that club 6 feet in the ground, Charlie.
He got pretty pissed off.
Yep. As far as where the favorites are, we talk Scheffler. He's in a tie for fifth at 5 under. And you know, the number one player in the world has found himself in contention despite not having his A game over the last 2 days. Charlie, Scheffler has been in the top five through 36 holes of a major championship 7 times since the start of 2022. He has put himself in that conversation time and time again in these majors since he's been a professional.
He's only got about 10 more times to equal Jack Nicklaus. Jack was, but yeah, that's quite a modern day achievement. I marvel at his golf game, his patience. He accepts the whatever's thrown at him.
Yeah.
And he could have a good weekend.
Scheffler was even par through 15 holes on Thursday and was able to birdie 2 of his last 3 to post 2 under. He was 6 back after day one. And then Friday, Scheffler looked a whole lot cleaner from tee to green, making 4 birdies, four birdies and 1 bogey to shoot 68 and cut that gap down to 3 shots heading into the weekend. You know, he weathered a couple storms through 2 rounds at Quail Hollow. Here was Scheffler on some of those bounce backs at a difficult setup in Quail Hollow.
Well, yeah, I think on the course in difficult setups like this in major championships, you know, you're going to run into some bumps in the road, and there's going to be challenges out there, and it's all about how you bounce back from them. And, you know, I didn't really feel like I made very many good swings today until probably the 14th hole, and then was able to kind of put some stuff together coming down the stretch. And, you know, I bounced back really well. I felt like most of the day, like I missed a fairly short birdie putt on 10, you know, came back, made a really nice par putt on the next hole. Hit a really poor iron shot on 13, made my first bogey of the day, and bounced back with 2 birdies right after that. And so just did a good job of kind of staying in the moment, not letting the mistakes get to me, and kind of just really grinding out a decent round of golf.
So that was Scheffler, 3 back heading into the weekend. And the second favorite to start the week was Masters champion Rory McIlroy, who just completed the Grand Slam, Charlie. He is at 1 over in a tie for 62nd. He made the cut on the number. After going 3 over in round 1 and 2 under in round 2, we found out last night that his driver, he had some issues with the driver. It was deemed non-conformative before round 1, and Rory has had some trouble hitting fairways this week at Quail Hollow.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a better backup.
Yeah,
you know, just like in baseball, you're going to break a bat. You got 4 or 5 bats. PGA Tour supplies these guys with everything they yeah. want. So that's kind of a lame excuse. So what can he do this weekend? I don't know. Can he shoot 10 under? I don't know what's the winning score. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say my guess score at the beginning of the week was 14 under par.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the leader is at 8 right now. Johnny should be at 10 had he not doubled the 72nd hole. And Charlie, I think, you know, the pins are going to be tucked today. I think everything is going to get a little bit firmer. Now, you did have rain this morning at Quail Hollow. The players are off the golf course with the next update coming at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So that could soften things up a little bit. I'm going to say 14 under is the winning score. It's interesting to note, Charlie, when Rory won his first title on the PGA Tour, that was back in 2010 at the Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow.
I remember it well because Angel was in the lead on the back nine.
Wow.
And this young punk from Ireland, you know, he was, you know, this was his debut kind of.
Yeah.
And he started making birdies and eagles on the, and we finished third. Anka finished third because Mickelson made a 40-footer on 18.
And Mickelson had just made. Well, he had just won the Masters that year.
Yeah,
didn't he? Yeah. In 2010, and Rory that week, I didn't know Angel was in the mix that tournament.
Oh yeah,
Rory made the cut on the number that week and won over.
Uh-huh. And, see, but 2009, Ankel had won his Masters, yeah. So he goes in there, you know, being a two-time major champion, yeah. And he was hitting it on all cylinders.
Wow. Billy Mayfair was leading through 36 holes that week.
Now, there's a guy that's a little.
all right, so that's Rory, one over, you know, starts the weekend, 9 back. Has 35-1 odds right now to win. So, you know, we'll see if he can mount another miracle. Bryson DeChambeau, he was the third favorite, plus 950. He opened 71-68. You know, he's 3 under going into the weekend, 5 back of Johnny Vegas. You know, Bryson, you know, showing his usual display of power off the tee, averaging 345 in driving distance this week. He's first in driving distance at the PGA Championship. Here's DeChambeau on his reaction going into the weekend.
It depends on where the pins are. The pins have been mostly on top of crowns this week, which has made it a very difficult test of golf. You have to have your irons super precise this week, which we all know how good my wedges are. So that makes it a little more difficult for me. That's okay, though, and it's a great test. I just got to have my putting a little bit more on and keep playing the way I am. I mean, it easily could be 7-8 under right now, or, you know, I could be even par. So just keep moving along, and I think 65, 64 is out there. Homa shot it out there today, and I definitely saw it out there. I just didn't accomplish it.
We got to remind this. Was
the showman, Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau, that the pins are always in the middle of the hole. It depends on where they cut the holes is what is important, where the holes are cut in the green. And, you know, that's so. I don't think they'll trick it up too much. I mean, Johnny Harris, the chairman of this beautiful club that has, you know, the imagination of the golfing world.
Yeah.
I mean, and Charlotte's being such a nice place. I don't think they'll trick the golf course up.
This really is a beautiful place, Charlie. I know yeah. there's been some headlines this week. You know, some riders are tired of seeing Quail in the schedule every year, plus host big tournaments. I saw for myself, this is a gorgeous club.
Well, the Masters is on the schedule yeah. every year.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's the point of everybody who wants to get to,
yeah.
you know, be as good as the Masters. And Quail has yeah. gotten that good. Now they just need more history.
Right, right. This is their second PGA. They hosted a President's Cup
yep.
back in 2020. Excellent golf course, great test. Leaders at 8 under, that's Johnny Vegas. And he's got, you know, a list of really incredible chasers coming after him this weekend. One-time PGA Tour winner Matthew Pavon, Siwoo Kim, who won the Players at 21 years old, 2022 U.S. Open champion Matt Fitzpatrick. You have, you know, obviously Scottie Scheffler, the tournament favorite and world number one, three shots back coming off an eight-shot victory at the Nelson. And Max Homa has also had very commendable results at Quail Hollow over the years. We got to take a quick break. Your questions are coming on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, before we get to your questions, Charlie, we have listeners that feel like the walls are closing in a little bit and the obstacles to growing their business are getting a little bit overwhelming. You have a solution for them. It's the great people at Insperity.
Insperity, a company that was established in 1986 by four geniuses. They had an idea on how they could help small business grow. So that was their targeted audience, help small business. And they started, and ever since then, they have done nothing but grow their product because they're fundamentally sound. They're honest as the day is long. And they have a product that people need. And HR, human resources, is probably the most important thing that businesses have. You need help to sell your products, and so you hire people. You've got to treat those people accordingly. And they, HR is Insperity's motto. They're going to help you. So if you want to grow your business, if you want to be successful, give HR a look on the website. But then if you got some questions, call them and see what they'll tell you about your own business. And I guarantee you, at the end of the day, you'll be a better business because you have help from Insperity, a company that really knows how to work.
Yeah, they're ready to provide and support and give you guidance. They lead their clients to resources. Even before their clients have a chance to ask, it's amazing what the people at Insperity are doing. I got back from Charlotte on Wednesday and actually was up there following around one of their brand ambassadors who is a professional golfer. His name is Johnny Kiefer and grew up in San Antonio, played his collegiate golf at Baylor. Charlie, this time last year, Johnny Kiefer was playing in a regional at Baylor. And, you know, he comes out of school, dominates on the Americos Tour, which is the third level PGA Tour. It was once, you know, the Latin America Tour and the Canadian Tour. They have merged those two tours together to create the Americos Tour. He got his Korn Ferry Tour status off the Americos Tour and really hasn't finished outside the top 25 on a leaderboard since he turned pro. And, he won. I was in Arlington a couple weeks ago where he won the Veritex Bank Championship, and that win on the Korn Ferry Tour got him inside the top 100 on the official world golf rankings. And, he was one of the last men in the field at the PGA Championship. Unfortunately, he's going to be going home after two rounds, but it was really a treat to spend a couple practice rounds with him and the great coach Brian Gathright and his agent Mike Flynn. And Johnny's really just an impressive player, hits the ball a long way, great iron player. Awesome work on it around the greens. Charlie, as far as this week at Quail Hollow, maybe could have hit his long irons a touch better over two rounds, but nonetheless, it's an experience that he's going to take a lot away from.
Good luck to him.
We continue as far as the world of golf with your questions. This is Nate in Bradenton. Charlie, I see Scheffler play these pitch and runs that come in low, check twice, and then stop. How can I add that shot to my arsenal?
Well, if you video his or record the shot that you're talking about, and you'll see what kind of angle that he brings the club into the golf ball, and that he's using the bounce of the club, the 54 degree or 60 degree. It has a bottom on it that will help propel the ball up off of the tight lies, and it will spin quite a bit. But it doesn't require a lot of speed. It requires delicate speed. And these guys are have soft hands, and they don't put the club in any bit of hurry, but they make sure that as it goes to the ball, it's the screws of the club are looking up, and they just kind of like a piece of sandpaper, they put it underneath the ball, and it starts to spin that way. And over a period of times, you can see them. They can play a 50-yard shot. They can play a 50-foot shot. But it's all delicate and with great touch. Well, you know, what is the definition of touch? You know, it's something that, you know, you feel the texture of a shirt. You feel the texture of the green. And it becomes something innate to your eye-hand coordination. But learn how to use the bounce of the club and take some lessons from your PGA golf professional, he or she. Get you out there, and they can interpret the lie and interpret the amount of swing. And as they say, in golf, you got to control the amount and shape of your golf swing.
And go see, you know, Jesse Drommer out there at Riverbend Country Club, who just – you know, played the PGA Championship out there in Sugar Land. You know, he's a PGA professional in the area. And if you're just joining us, the third round of the PGA Championship begins at 11:43 Eastern time. Charlie, on that shot, on those delicate shots around the greens, I know this is maybe an obvious thing, but can you talk about just how important good contact is with those shots? I mean, hitting the center of the face.
Sure. You gotta have to create a stance that will help you make the desired shot, and as far as how close you are, and then how much backswing you're going to use, and how much downswing force you're going to use. You don't need a lot of force to hit a ball 30, 40, 50 feet. You put it on the green and let it roll out, and let the ball find the hole.
Who are some of the best chippers you've seen in your lifetime besides yourself?
Well, you know, I had the pleasure when I went to work for the Golf Digest to work for the famous Paul Runyon, Little Poison. You know, he was a gentleman that was maybe 5'3" and never weighed more than 100 pounds. And, you know, he had a set of hands, and he understood the mechanics and the geometry of hitting specialty shots and how to hold the face of the club at a desired angle, that when you come into the ball's going to react to the grooves of the club and to the force at which you're swinging the club. So it's a technique that it's an acquired technique. You have to practice it. You have to fundamentally understand what you're trying to do with the golf ball with the golf face of the club.
Well done there, Charlie. In case you're just joining us, top of the leaderboard at the PGA Championship, Johnny Vegas is in the solo lead at 8-under par by 2 shots over Siwoo Kim and Matthew Fitzpatrick and Matthew Pavone. You know, as far as the coverage this afternoon, Johnny Vegas and Matthew Pavone will be the final group out at 2:45 Eastern at Quail Hollow. They will follow Siwoo Kim and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And, you know, one of the probably the best marquee groups of the day is Max Homa and Scottie Scheffler, who go out at 2:25 Eastern. Let's get to our next question. This is Richard let's go to Paul in Memorial. Charlie, what's the story on Rory's driver not meeting requirements before the opening round? Do you think the driver head is too big these days?
I'm not sure. I did not get the full explanation on why it was out of sorts. So I don't know if it was because it was bent or if it was – I don't know. I have no idea.
It's not the player's fault. It's not the manufacturer's fault. From what I understand, they are trying to get that driver in a spot that is the closest possible to the limits and to where, you know, they get these random checks, you know, every couple tournaments, and sometimes the driver exceeds the boundaries of the rules of golf. So I think it was a minor mistake. Obviously, Rory is one of the best drivers in the game ever. And even despite not hitting a ton of fairways this week. He's still 31st in the field in driving, and he hasn't really been that accurate with the driver this year. I mean, if you look back to Augusta, he had to get himself out of some really tricky spots, and so I'm not overly surprised that the driver's just a little squirrely. Obviously, he has a huge advantage with the distance, but this year he's not been the most accurate driver of the golf ball.
Well, the drivers are, you know, called metal woods, oxymoron kind of deal. And so, you know, with that pounding that these guys get, they can influence the metal on the face of the club because the face is so thin, it can crack or it can get the hosel can get out of whack. So they're going to have to, you know, study that piece of machinery, which is what it is, a driver, before he goes to play again. That's I'll try to find out more information from the truck on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, call your guys a ping. Get a little detail on that.
Yeah, ping.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back for one more segment on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us. It is the weekend at the PGA Championship. Johnny Vegas is your Houston resident. Johnny Vegas is your leader at 8-under par. Hails from Venezuela, but lives here in Houston. Plays his golf club at
the Woodlands.
The Woodlands,
yes.
A little bit of does he golf club in Houston? The Woodlands.
No, he's a member. I think he spends most of his time at the Nicklaus Course.
Okay.
At Carlton Woods.
Beautiful.
They treat him very nicely up there, and he represents them. And great place to practice and play.
Charlie, I hate to get off topic here, but I read this week that the Woodlands Country Club was bought out.
Yes.
By a Dallas company.
You know, those big conglomerates are just trading golf courses like they're toys. I don't understand that.
Now, they hosted Insperity Invitational, which was a couple weeks ago in the Great Stewart Sink One. Is this going to be a good thing for the club?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, I don't know.
You've dealt with a lot of, you know, you've been at a lot of clubs over the years.
Yes, you've seen
these companies come and take over. Is it better to have this kind of situation or more of a member-run club?
Well, I know that the Woodlands golf courses were bought up by CCA, and CCA is a conglomerate that grew out of good management and understanding the game of golf. So these new companies that have great capital, they can come in and improve the product and charge more money and so on and so forth. Is it good for the game? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah. We got another question rolling in here, Charlie. This is Richard in New Braunfels just joining the show. Charlie, what do you think about majors being played at golf courses like Quail Hollow that host a PGA Tour event every year?
Well, that's just part of it. I mean, the golf courses like Wingfoot, Pebble Beach, the great golf courses of the world, they can handle the tournaments. Yeah. And the players like to play the best and the hardest golf courses and that are in shape. They're playing Quail Hollow that was chosen 15 years ago to have this date.
Yeah.
And so they build their maintenance program leading up to the golf tournament for major championships. And they also like to promote Mr. Harris, the principal of a club like Quail Hollow. They like to help the PGA, and the PGA is a good partner in developing PGA tours, it just grows the game. So it's a necessity for clubs to open up their doors and welcome these great players to play the championships around the country.
And this is a fitting area, right, Charlie, because the coastal region, the coastal section of PGA of America, it's the largest in the country.
Yeah, well, they have more golf courses because of its place in our country that very very limited winter problems. They don't have snow. So it's a good place to build golf courses and build retirement homes.
Yeah. Well said. As far as world number one, he's three shots back at 500 par. You know, he talked about, once again, it was not perfect for Scheffler, starting with rounds of 69, 68, but he talked a little bit after his second round about what it was like just to be close to the lead going into this weekend.
I think most of me is just glad to be close to the lead. I mean, if you're going to play a 72-hole golf tournament, there's going to be days and stretches of golf where you're not swinging at your best. And, over the course of a tournament this long and on a major championship setup, there's going to be, like I said, some bumps in the road. And so it's all about how you respond to those. And I did a good job of responding to those mistakes today and keep myself in the tournament.
Charlie, what do you want your listeners to be watching this weekend in the broadcast? Obviously, it's going to be on ESPN Plus starting this morning at 11:43 a.m. Eastern. There's been a bit of a delay because of rain this morning in Charlotte. So that'll start at 11:43, and then you can watch it on the CBS telecast with Jim Nantz and Trevor Immelman this afternoon. And, of course, you can always record it. But what are some things, some players, what can your listeners learn this weekend?
Well, the one thing they're going to do is they've got two professional announcers that do a major every year in Jim Nantz and Trevor Immelman. So that you listen to these guys, they're experienced, and they'll get a feel for how the course is playing, and they'll get a feel for the players themselves. So they'll walk the tee prior to going on the air, and so they'll point out the holes they're playing and what's there and what isn't there, the best thing to do is to record the championship and then, listen to it on a Tuesday night when you really can't sleep and listen to it and visualize the types of shots, the chips and the pitch and the slow motion play. I think the golf coverage is really, really good.
No, it is. It's second to none, especially with CBS and just all the avenues that you have to watch it, over the course of a tournament. You don't miss a shot now with what ESPN Plus is doing and the fact that you can tune into the coverage as soon as it starts on Thursday and Friday morning. So that's a great thing. Another thing on this golf course, Charlie, we talked about how it rained Monday through Wednesday. The greens have gone unimpacted due to the sub-air. And that's got to be a huge advantage as far as bringing a major to a golf course and having an application like that.
Well, and it's a major investment for the golf club because
how much does that cost?
Well, it's a bunch. I don't really know, but I've heard a couple $100,000. Yeah. But they can control the moisture. It's just like what Wimbledon does. They control their courts and their moisture the conditions of the football fields today are so much better than they were back in the 50s and 60s because they have the drainage and the under the field drainage to get the water off the field quickly. That's what they do with golf. So my hat's off to the agronomists and the superintendents that run – they have 110 people, so you divide 100.
Actually more the – I was talking to a member when I was there, and the superintendent brought in 300. He was working with 60 guys up until 3 weeks before the tournament, brought in an additional 300 boots on the ground.
300?
300.
Wow. But
just because with all the rain and all the extra help they need,
and I know the superintendent's schedule starts at 3 a.m. to get the golf course ready at 8:00, and then they're there until 10:00 at night. So all the the mowers and stuff like that have lights on them, and it's a 24/7 kind of day.
Yeah, I see this pin, Charlie, on the 18th hole today. It's in that front right section of the green. You know, we saw Johnny in those right bunkers, and the pin was off to the left today. It's front right. How are you playing that hole?
Well, see, they're forcing you to have to aim left of the pin to work the ball back because you don't want to be short-sighted. You know, it's just one of the problems that Johnny had yesterday. He was in that right bunker, and that green going towards the
creek.
The creek is really quick. So, you know, it's decision time, decision time.
Unbelievable. Great work today, Charlie. Hope you enjoyed the PGA Championship coverage. Thank you, AJ, behind the ones and twos. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Talk next week at the halfway point of the Charles Schwab Challenge.